Last week, our gospel lesson led us to a conversation about crosses, about how each cross is carefully crafted by our Creator and painstakingly fit to the individual. Essentially, that our crosses are as unique as we ourselves are unique. But we also spoke about the reality that even in their uniqueness, all crosses bear some resemblance, not only to one another, but especially to the one true cross. That the only reason we are able to identify our crosses as crosses at all is that they possess a telltale shape and markings, that they are made in the image and likeness of Christ's own cross. And again, this morning's readings point to an integral part of any cross that wants to claim likeness of the true cross. A particular angle that tells us this is indeed a cross, namely Christian stewardship. Most of you are probably familiar with the three T's of stewardship: time, talent, and treasure. And for some of you, this is an effective means of talking about stewardship. But likely, just as many of you are filled with dread and or resentment, the very mention of the word stewardship. If the word stewardship fills you with fear or disgust, if stewardship conjures up negative feelings and images, I would like to apologize to you. Not for using the word stewardship, but because most likely those images and feelings are the result of someone standing in this or another pulpit and failing to properly explain stewardship. Failing to identify stewardship as an inseparable piece of Christian discipleship. Ultimately, failing to present stewardship in all its joy. We clergy have been gifted with the task of delivering stewardship to the church. Tasked with teaching that stewardship is not only an essential piece of being the church, that is, keeping the lights on and maintaining the physical plant of this and every church building, financially supporting the various points of outreach to a world in need. But that stewardship is also an essential piece of our individual relationships with our Creator, the one who has abundantly graced us with many gifts, individually and collectively. And when all is said and done, when all of the money has been counted, all the bills paid, when all of the mundane tasks that are part and parcel of being Christ's body in the world have been completed, what we're left with is a simple understanding of stewardship. Stewardship is nothing more or less than caring for things that are not our own. Time, talent, and treasure. Stewardship is not about giving something that is mine and allowing it to be shared with others. It's about recognizing that all I possess has been gifted to me. Time, talent, and treasure. And that the one who has gifted these things to me has some expectations of how they are to be used. The first expectation being that they are to be used freely and joyfully. But as a general rule, we don't talk about stewardship as freedom and joy. We speak about obligation and concern ourselves with decimal points. In general, we have been more concerned with whether we remember to carry the one when figuring the bottom line than whether or not we're actively empowering the people to recognize stewardship as integral to the crosses each of us is asked to carry. An essential link to the one who carries us all. We have often failed to acknowledge that stewardship is as much about taking responsibility for the physical care of people, places, and things as it is about fiscal responsibility. We have stood idly by or asked others to speak to you about money, sometimes hiding behind that catch-all claim, "Well, that's not really one of my gifts." Instead of taking up our own crosses and engaging you in what it means to be good stewards. In a nutshell, we clergy have often been bad stewards of stewardship. And for that, I apologize. But more than that, I hope to make amends. My earnest prayer is that when all the pledge cards are collected on Sunday, November 4th, that they will collectively represent a new understanding of stewardship. That they will be an extension of our ministry, an essential part of the crosses that we gladly take up. That willing discipleship will have replaced any sense of obligation. That anxiety and resentment will have been displaced by trust and gratitude. And I trust that the one who makes all things new can do exactly that within us. As I mentioned earlier, this morning's readings point us in the direction of stewardship, specifically the first two T's, time and talent. At the heels of Christ's discourse about discipleship and the cross, both his and ours, we find this well-known quip about the reversal of fortunes. Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, recognizes that his disciples have been arguing, that even after explaining to them the burdensome, selfless nature of discipleship, their concern is only for themselves. Who is the greatest? He is witnessing precisely what James is warning us against this morning, and it's happening right under his nose amongst those who are closest to our Lord, those who have been handpicked by him to continue his loving presence in the world in his absence. In response, he plays into their selfishness, telling them exactly how they can be first. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. In other words, if you desire greatness, then do great things for others. He tells them, try using some of the greatness I have given you for the purpose I have given it. Put your time and talent to the service of others. Essentially, he is asking them to be stewards of the gifts they have been given, to use those gifts to lift up the lowly, to take those whose only hope has rested in crumbs from the table, and to set them at the front of the lunch line. Recognizing that the gifts we have been given to us for the service of others is an essential piece of stewardship. Even the base desire to be first can be put to good use when we use it to place others first. When we can recognize that those around us have the same basic needs as us, there eventually comes a desire to help meet those needs. When we acknowledge how important it is for us to feel loved, then we begin to share that love with others. We begin to be Christ's love in the world. When we recognize our own need to be heard, we begin to listen more closely to others. When we acknowledge how good it feels to be first, we will want to share that feeling. We will want to share it so much that we will begin to place others before ourselves. And we will do this over and over and over until we realize that we have come to the back of the line, that there's no one else to place in front of us, and that we've finally found our place. We will be inspired to place others before ourselves because God has done so for us. The God who sent his Son not to be served, but to serve. God's incarnate word comes to us and says, after you. Christian discipleship is service to all. Christian stewardship means willingly and joyfully placing our time and talent at the disposal of others, wanting the best for others and using our gifts to that end. Stewardship of our time and talent requires that we first acknowledge the abundant gifts we have been given, and secondly, that we prayerfully discern where those gifts may be used in the service of others. This year's pledge cards will provide you with some opportunities to begin exploring many of the ministries already available at St. Peter's, and an opportunity to prayerfully discern your vital place within those ministries. We will be asking you to give prayerful consideration to ministering to one another and to the world through ministries like the Altar Guild, Acolyte, and Vestry. We will ask you to pray about whether you're being called to share your love of music. No, I didn't say musical talent, but to share a simple love of music with us by serving in the choir, especially if you're a tenor. You'll be asked to consider if the time God has gifted you might be best spent on outreach, serving at Lunch Together or the Red Door. You will be given the chance to consider being a servant of all in one or many of the various ministries that have been a part of St. Peter's for years, like St. Nick's Crafters or the Hospitality Committee, right along with those ministries that are just finding their legs, leading the daily office or helping St. Peter's become the first dementia-friendly church in Sheridan. You will be invited to welcome our Lord Jesus Christ into St. Peter's simply by welcoming one child. Invited to serve in Sunday school or childcare. There are countless opportunities to become the servant of all right here at St. Peter's. There are multiple chances to exercise stewardship of our time and talent within the ministries that have enjoyed years of support and within those that are still in their infancy. But beyond that, I pledge that if you take stewardship of your time and talent seriously, you will find freedom and fulfillment. Even if that means that after you've explored the ministries available at St. Peter's, and after we've officially commissioned those ministers at a service in November, you're still unable to prayerfully discern a call to one of those ministries, you and I will sit down and pray. And if need be, construct a ministry from the ground up. Christian ministry is not reserved for those of us who find collars attached to our crosses. It is the baptismal rite of all Christians. We are each of us called to undertake the stewardship of our time and talent, to become servants of all, to place others before ourselves in whichever line we find ourselves. And I pledge to be a good steward of stewardship, to empower you to take up the cross God has given you. I will help you claim, as our hymn beautifully pointed out, that unique high calling of Christian servanthood in which not even the angels may share. Weak or strong, young and old, I will help you to find renewed fulfillment in your current ministry or to discern a new call to service. To be a good steward is to be filled with the freedom and joy that can only be found in serving our God. Stewardship is a gift from God which rightly orders our care for those earthly gifts within our grasp, while ultimately calling us to hold fast to only that which shall endure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.